old Zacchaeus. And you know the story of Zacchaeus, don't you, Tiffy Brooke? Was he a little fella? Is he a little fella, Zacchaeus? Do you know, honey? What did he do? How many knows? He did. And later on, I'll show you. He climbed up this tree right here, and I'm going to show you what he did, okay? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Let's read verses 1 through 10. Sergeant, I'm sorry you did not know that we were out to the land during the day. I feel so bad. Do you get the one call now? Because I put it on the one call now. Okay, just got by you? Okay. And I heard you came out later. I felt so bad about that. What's that? Luke chapter 19. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little stature. By the way, Brother Eddie told me, for all the kids, and Brother Eddie and Liz are going to watch, if you young people are good while preacher preaches tonight, they will get, and you will get it from Brother Eddie and Miss Liz. What are they going to get, Brother Eddie? What is it? How many like ice cream cups? But I'm not just talking about ice cream cups. I'm talking about good ice cream cups. We've got the ones that are, what are they? Good ice cream cups. That's the ones we got. We just don't have ice cream cups. Ours is good ice cream cups. I mean, we got the good ones, man. Now, if you don't act up and be bad, and Miss Liz and Eddie's going to watch all the kids, and every kid that's good, even Brother Bob Edwards. You watch him, Sonia. And Chrissy, you watch Brother Wade. If you be good, you can too. Okay. You be good. And if Sonia's good, she can get one. And so, I've got 20 of them, right? Until we get rid of them. Well, we've got enough for 20. After 20, you can't have them. So, all right, let's look at the verse 1 again. I'll start. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little fellow, probably about the size of Tippy. Well, maybe a little bit taller than T. Brooke, but maybe a little bit bigger in rolls, okay? Yep. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, and for he was to pass that way. And Jesus, the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down to receive him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, you ever notice when people get saved, the world hates it? Even some Christians with cold hearts. We ought to be, when people get saved, we ought to be shouting and crying, praising God. Did they really get saved? Yeah, they really got saved. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be with a guest, with a man that is a sinner. By the way, that's why Jesus came. He came for sinners like you and I. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. That means he was a Jewish man. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And by the way, we're not going to read it farther, but they actually, then the next verse, they thought Jesus was going to set up his kingdom right there. Boy, they got it. I wish we'd get excited about that, about Jesus coming back. Father, last night you put this scripture in my heart. I prayed and I said, Holy Spirit, let me know what to do. And this is what you put in my heart. I know adults might think this is a little light story for the kids, but there's a lot of truth in this story for the big kids. Help me, Father. Help me to put in the young and the old's heart the truth about Zacchaeus. Holy Spirit, fill me and use me, I pray. for God's honor and glory. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, I want us to look at the scriptures, what it says about this man named Zacchaeus. If you look in verse 2, it's already 18 minutes before 8, so let me try to put this in about 20 minutes here. If you look at verse 2, you're going to find some things that the Bible says, a description about Zacchaeus. First of all, number one in verse 2, Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. What is a publican, the question is? Well, a publican was a tax collector. He was a tax collector for the emperor of Rome. He collected taxes that for Caesar, and they had to pay tribute. And a lot of times they were paying taxes that they shouldn't have been paying, and paying more than they were supposed to be paying. Matter of fact, these Jewish publicans, they were regarded by the Jews as traitors. They were regarded even as a heathen. Now, come on, kids, watch up. No more. Watch, preacher. They were even regarded like heathen. In other words, they weren't even regarded as a good Jewish person. They were regarded as evil. They were hated and looked upon as evil sinners. Another thing about Zacchaeus, when you read verse 2, you'll find out he was rich. And there's no doubt he was rich, Eddie. Most of those publicans were extortioners. In other words, they stole and cheated people. They were crooked. No doubt he was rich because he collected illegal taxes. And more publicans were known as crooks and extortionists. And you name it, they were regarded as the most evil, wicked sinners on the face of the earth. People despised them. I got thinking about this. He was a little guy too. Hope he didn't have the little man syndrome. I'll teach them. I'm going to tax them more. Are you with me? I'll take that big guy down. I'm going to make his taxes double. And they can't fight him back because he said he's representing Caesar. Hello? The Roman government? Then look at verse 3. Something about this publican who everyone hated. They were looked upon as very sinful. He heard about Jesus. You know, people need to hear about Jesus, don't they? And the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not because he was of little stature. You know, listen, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. How can you find out who Jesus is? How can we find out who Jesus is? Not on the earth now, but it's walking on outside of Jericho. How can we find where Jesus is? How do we find out about Jesus now? Here's how you find out about Jesus. You read the Bible. The Bible will tell you all about Jesus. The Bible will teach you all about Christ and who he was and who he is and what he's going to do. He'll give you the past, present, and future with Jesus. Amen? The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And the scripture says in 2 Peter 3, grow in grace, verse 18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, you want to know about Jesus? Adults, you want to know about Jesus? The reason we don't know about them, we don't read them. Because if you get in the Word, you'll know more about Jesus. We don't have his heart because we don't read. Because if you get in the Bible, you'll get the heart of God. You'll get the mind of Christ. Hello? You'll get filled with the Spirit of God. How many can say amen to me? We can read the Bible here. By the way, another way we can get closer to Jesus now, reading the Bible, but we can hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Listen, every time the church doors are open, unless you're sick or you got to work, you need to be in church. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, God's Word is what makes people's heart move. God's Word will make you draw close to God. God's Word will make you know about Christ. God's Word will make you want to seek it. Yeah. God's Word will draw you closer to Him and draw Him closer to you. Also, when you study God's Word and you hear God's word preach, you're going to find out some things about Jesus. First of all, boys and girls, when you find out about Jesus, you're going to find out that Jesus was created. Lukey, Jesus made the sun, the moon. Jimmy, Jesus made the stars. Jesus made everything. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. By the way, Jesus was the God that created it. Because it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made, John 1, all things were made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Jesus was God in the flesh. In other words, look up here, kids. Jesus came down. God came down. God came down in the form of a man, and God came in Jesus. Jesus was the God-man. God, the Bible says, God was in Christ, reconciling us unto Himself. Can anyone say amen? And oh my, Jesus was God in the flesh. John 19:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Everyone should seek out Jesus. Everyone. Everyone should want to know about more about Jesus. I thought about that song. More about Jesus, this I know. Bum, 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 bum. More, tell me more about Jesus. More about... How many of you ever heard that song? That ought to be a song in our heart. God, tell me more about you. Lord, show me more about you. Lord, reveal more about you to my life. Lord, I want to know everything I can about you, Father. Reveal it all to me. He'll reveal to us if we'll seek Him. Trouble is, we don't seek Him. We don't read His word. We don't seek after the things of God. Oh, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Then if you'll see in verse 3, look at verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who He was, but he could not, because he was a little statue. He was just a little fellow. And look at verse 4. And he ran before to see Him. Wow. Look at this. He heard Jesus was coming. He heard Jesus was coming. He heard the crowd. Man, he heard the crowd. Man, all the people were getting excited. But he couldn't see. He heard Jesus was coming, but he couldn't see Him, so he hurried up and ran. And he climbed up the tree, Loki. There were kids climbing up that tree the other day at the church land. Now I got a good seat. Now I can see Jesus. Boy, here come Jesus. Man, he had the best seat in the house. Nothing was stopping him from seeing Jesus now. I want you to notice something. You know, even though he was small, he did not let that being small become an obstacle from stopping him to see Jesus. Listen to me, adults. Sometimes we make excuses why we can't come to church or read our Bible. He didn't make excuses. We need to quit making excuses. See, Zacchaeus, he could have said, well, I can't see Jesus, I'm too small, everybody's taller than me, I'm out of this skill. No, he said, I'm not going to make an excuse, I'm going to rise above that obstacle. By the way, I know we all have obstacles and things we have to hurdle in our life. I know we all have challenges and trials and things we have to face, but I'm going to tell you, we need to quit making excuses. We can see Jesus and we can be close to Him if we really want to be. I put this down, and I've said this to Brother Dave all the time. People, and I tell this to all my preachers, people do what they want to do. Say that with me. People do what they want to do. Say this. I do what I want to do. See, we really can do things that we say we can't. It's just that we don't want to do them. You see, when we always say, well, I liked it, but I can't. I liked it, but I can't. Oh, I just can't. Oh, I wish I could, but I can't. Preacher years ago told me, oh, you can do it. All you got to do is get your can fixed. You know, can't. Get, Hello? You'll get it. Look up here, you young people. You can become anything for God if you want, if you put your heart to it. You can learn, you can be close to Jesus if you put your heart to it. You look up here, you adults. You can be as close to Christ as you want to. The reason Zacchaeus was so close to Christ is because he wanted to be. See, he desired to be close to Christ. He desired to see Christ. I wonder how much do we desire? How much do we desire to see? You know, how much desire do we have in our heart to be close to God? I'll tell you, God's been tugging at my heart. I really want to get closer to God. The only way we're going to get closer to God is read our Bible, and pray, and turn the old TV off. Hello? How many are with me? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm praying for that God will really give us a revival, and especially for me. And by the way, the trouble is most Christians, we don't have that desire in our heart. And we give God our leftovers. Well, if I can work you in, God, if I can work you in, I'll come Wednesday night. If I can work you in, I'll come Sunday night. Hello? God, I might show up for Sunday school if I'm not too tired. Or Lord, if I don't start at the breakfast shop, maybe I can just give up going to the Denny's. Boy, I'd give up anyways, that rotten food. Mom. But I never did like Denny's food. I ain't kidding you. People go there. If you go there, that's all right. You need to hear this. I'm taking it from the Lord. Eat at Dunkin' Donuts. That's better for you. Drink that Arab coffee and eat those rotten donuts and get that stinking diabetes like everybody else does. So, anyways, kidding. I'm having some fun with you now. But you know what? You know why he was this close? He made Jesus priority. Boys and girls, if you want to get close to Jesus, you got to make Jesus priority. In other words, you got to make Jesus number one in your life. Colossians 1:18 says, I'm going to quote it to you, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means that word preeminence is a big word. It's saying, hey, God wants you to put him number one in everything in your life. Before anything else, put him number one. I know Lizzie was good at the cheers. Her class is down. We're number one. We're number one. I know all these kids have said that. Or well, during the VBS or something, we'll be going, we're number. But you know what? We can have fun with this. But really, God wants Jesus to be number one in your lives. Do we really put the things of God first place in our life? Then get this. Jesus saw him. I like this. Jesus, the Bible says in verse 5 that Jesus saw him. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to place, he looked up and saw him. Oh, look at this, boys and girls. All these people around, but Jesus, he really saw Zacchaeus. Jesus' eyes looked into the eyes of Zacchaeus. Wow. Can you imagine if Jesus was looking at our eyes today? Wouldn't that be exciting? Yeah, wouldn't that be exciting? Someday, by the way, his eyes is going to look into us. It's going to look into the saved, and they're going to look into the lost. One's going to say, one will say, depart from me. They're going to be separated forever. And the others will say, come on in. Hello? You know, Jesus sees all of us in all our actions. He sees our heart. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You say, well, man, Grandpa didn't catch me. Grandpa don't have to catch you. God's already saw you. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You say, well, man, I got that over the preacher. You didn't get nothing on me. First of all, I'm just an old sinner just like you. You don't have to please me. You want to please God. You're not going to stand before me. You're going to stand before God. I'm just the under-shepherd. Amen? Where is our heart for God today? I want to challenge you. Zacchaeus' heart was for God. Where's our heart? Christian, where's our heart today for God? Jesus saw Zacchaeus' heart. that he was searching and seeking for him. I wonder, do we seek after God? Do we search after things of God? Listen, God, before Jesus saw him, of course, I know he could see him, but he knew his heart. He saw his heart before he ever saw anything else. He saw his heart saying, I must see Jesus. I must get close to Jesus. I wonder, does God in heaven ever sense our heart saying, oh God, I want to be close to you. God, I need you. God, I want to know you. God, I want to serve you. Does he ever sense our heart yearning for him? He should. Verse 5, Jesus called to Zacchaeus. He called because, number one, he saw him seeking him. See, if you're seeking God, you'll find him because he's there. Are we seeking the things of God today? The Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And number two, Zacchaeus heard because he was close enough to hear. A lot of times we say, well, God never speaks to me, preacher. Look up here. If Zacchaeus would have been here, would he have heard him? No, he'd been too far away. That's where a lot of us Christians are sometimes. We say, well, man, he spoke to that man, he spoke to that woman, but he never speaks to me. Maybe we're not close enough to hear his voice. Maybe we're too far from God. He might be speaking, but maybe we're not hearing because we're too far from God. How many are hearing me speak tonight? See, Zacchaeus, he made sure he could hear God and see God. He made sure, boys and girls, that he was close to God. We need to make sure we're close to God. Are we close enough to hear his voice today? I wonder, church, are we close enough to... If he would speak to you about doing something... If God would speak to you about doing something, are you close enough to hear him speak? And then verse 5. I love this. You parents ought to get a kick out of this. Look at those two words in verse 5. Did you notice what the direct words Jesus said to Zacchaeus in verse 5? Make haste! In other words, get it in gear, bucko! Or, as your mommy yell, right now, Mr. Man! Make haste! I like that. See, when Jesus speaks to you and I, he expects us to respond immediately. He said, Zacchaeus, get down here right now. Zacchaeus, I want you down here right now. And boy, Zacchaeus, he just jumped off of that tree. He scampered down that tree immediately. The Bible says he came immediately. You know what? We need to understand something. Just like when our parents say to do something, they're expecting us to do it right now. Do you make your bed up now? Take out the garbage now? Shut your mouth now? We're wanting immediate responses now, not tomorrow. I want to give you a truth, Christians. When God speaks to you and I, he wants us to respond immediately too. He don't want to say, well, God, I'm going to pray about it. Hey, when God speaks to you about something, you don't need to pray no more. He's done when he says do it, now it's time to... When my dad used to tell me to do something, Brother Bob, I didn't say, wait, Dad, I'm going to go home. My dad would come to me, grab me, and say, oh, wop, 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 wop. My dad believed in dancing. He did. My dad believed in dancing. Yeah, every time I disobeyed him, he'd grab me in a switch, and man, he'd promenade me all the way around the room. Boom, boom. Man, we'd be hoop-de-hoo and promenading all through the house. What a dance. Whoop, whoop, ouch, ouch, ouch. You know, God can spank us too. We don't do right. He can spank us also. Many times we wonder, what? Wonder why God? Maybe because he told us to do something, we haven't been doing it. Hello? Anybody home yet? Children who do not make haste and don't respond to their parents are disobedient. And when we don't respond to Jesus immediately, we're disobedient to we're disobedient children. You know, I'm going to close here in just a couple minutes. You keep saying not not no to God when he speaks to you. You know what he does? He'll either chasten you, spank you, or he'll just say, okay. And then he won't speak to you. I think I can prove in the scriptures where God didn't speak to Abraham for 13 years. I showed it to you in Genesis when he was disobedient to have that child that with Hagar, and that wasn't God's plan. And for 13 years, God didn't, and then it says the Lord spoke to him again. I believe there was 13 years where God didn't speak to Abraham because of Ishmael, because he didn't listen. I'm not telling you he's not going to speak to you for 13 years. I'm just telling you that many times we keep saying no to God, no to God, no to God, no to God, no God, no God, no God, no God. You'll say, all right, I'm going to let you go. And you're going to be sorry you didn't do, because you're going to get in a whale of trouble because you didn't listen. Just like when you don't listen to your parents. The reason your parents are telling you, they don't want you to get in trouble. They're trying to do it. See, Tiffy, let me pick on you, my granddaughter. See, your mama yells at you. You know why your mama yells at you? Because I used to yell at her. Now she's having fun yelling at you. See, when you get bigger, you can yell at your kids. Isn't it great to be able to yell at kids? Look up here, Tiff. Mama don't do it for fun, and Grandpa didn't do it for fun for her. It's because I wanted the best for your mama. And I didn't want nothing bad to happen to your mama, and so I always tried to warn her about things that would be bad for her life. And when mama warns you and daddy warns you, they're just trying to warn you because they know more than what you know, even though you think you know more than them. Really, you're not at that, you haven't arrived yet. And you know Grandpa thinks for everybody. That's the household thing. Grandpa thinks for everybody. So just let me do the thinking. And you let you obey your mom and daddy. And you'll be blessed by God, by the way. Because the Bible says God blesses those children that obey their parents. Then closing, let me just say this. In verse 6, Zacchaeus responded right away. And if you'll notice in verse 6, he said he was joyful. Look at verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know, whenever you're obedient to Jesus, you're happy. Obedient Christians, obedient children have joy. Disobedient children, disobedient Christians do not have joy. There's so much, I know the times here, but there is so much truth here, it's unbelievable. If you just look at it. Obedience to God's word brings joy. Happy Christians are obedient Christians. In verse 7, people were mad that Jesus went to be with that sinner named Zacchaeus. The world doesn't like people getting saved, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus wants all kinds of sinners to be saved. By the way, you and I might not be like Zacchaeus, but we got sins of our own. Everyone's a different, but we're all sinners. And by the way, I don't care who you are, you've sinned. And you know what? Can you imagine? I'll guarantee as much as Zacchaeus was hated and despised, I'll bet they thought, how could that guy ever be saved? Don't ever give up on anyone. Amen. No one's beyond the grace of God until they die. Amen? And then in verse 8, Zacchaeus repented, had real repentance. He was sorry for his sin. You can tell when people really have repentance. You can tell when they're really sorry. There's repentance with sin. Then verse 9, when Jesus comes into your life, salvation comes into your life. When you get Jesus in, you got salvation in. You don't have Jesus, you don't have salvation. He that the Son hath life. He that not the Son of God hath not life. And then lastly, number 10, I'm just hurrying these because we're over time. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which are lost. Only reason Jesus ever came. Look up here, kids and preachers, all done. The only reason Jesus came. Oh, hold on, Zacchaeus. Woo! Zacchaeus was, he thought it was the rapture. He was holding on to Jesus. I don't blame him, I'd hold on too. Look up, I'm all done. The only reason Jesus came from heaven all the way down to the earth is so all people, because all people are sinners, so all people could be saved. Even Zacchaeus. God wants all people to be saved. No one excluded. You know, when we go out tomorrow, we might run into a man like Zacchaeus that's got a lot of problems in the world. He needs Jesus. We didn't talk about these kids here, but you know this family right here? They needed Jesus. This particular lady, I don't know what her name is, but could represent Mary, anybody. Martha, are you with me? It could be, she needed Jesus. Every one of these people needed Christ, not just Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't just come for Zacchaeus. He came for all. Jesus came for all. We go out tomorrow. Every person that you see, and I'm all done, every person that you talk to, every person that you see, Christ came to give that person forgiveness of every one of their sin and an eternal home in heaven. Would be great if we would just take a couple gospel tracts and say, can I give you this? Can I tell you about how to get to heaven? You run into a mailman, say, here's some mail from heaven. Let's do what we can. There's a lot of Zacchaeuses out there. And can I just say this on a pun? All people. Zacchaeus got saved. All people who are without Jesus are out on a limb and up a tree. And they need Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the thought about Zacchaeus. I pray some of these little thoughts would stay with the kids. Holy Ghost, seal some of those thoughts in their heart. And Lord, I pray with all my heart, even the adults would think about some of the thoughts. Oh, I know I yell and scream. And Lord, I pray that some of the thoughts we tried to put out to them to think about, I pray that they'll put it to their heart. Pray that they'll be thinking about the importance of Zacchaeus and getting close to Jesus. I pray that would be a number one priority for all our lives, that we'd want to be close so we could hear them, that we could see them, that we could know them. Lord, if there's some here that's never been saved, may they get so close that they can become a child of God. Receive them. Zacchaeus came down that tree and received Christ as his Savior. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven because I have received Christ as my Savior. Could you raise it? I know for sure. I know for a fact if I died, I'd go to heaven because I've received Christ as my Savior. Thank you. You may put them down. Not everybody could raise their hand. And God bless all you that didn't raise your hand for being honest. Maybe tonight you'd say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'd sure like to know when I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Let me see it. I'll pray for you. I won't come to you. Yes, ma'am. I see that. Yes, ma'am. I see that hand. Who else? Pastor, I'd like. Yes, ma'am. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that. Who else would like to say, Preacher, I'd like to be saved. Oh, I'd like to be like Zacchaeus. I see Jesus tonight. I want to get saved. Preacher, I want to be saved tonight. Tammy Lynn, get your Bible. Include me in that prayer. Who else? Before I pray, who else? How many Christians say, Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I've not been making Jesus number one priority. And I need to start putting Jesus first in my life. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, yes. Amen. We need to, listen to me, we need to be at our altar tonight saying, God, God help me to put you as number one in my life. You ought to have the preeminence in my life. You gave me everything I have. My family, my well-being, the very essence I have is all from him. He ought to have preeminence. The air that I breathe, he's just lending to me. I owe it all to God. You that raised your hand that said you need to be saved, would you look up here? You meant that, didn't you? I know you did. There's no one looking. Why don't you come right now, man? My daughter will show you how to get saved. That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Just go back with my daughter, and she's going to show you. What's your name? Lisa. I'm so glad you're here. Go with my daughter. Her name is Tammy. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else want to be saved tonight? As Lisa came to be saved. You say, well, it's only Wednesday, preacher. Hey, God saves. Did you know God saves Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? God's in the saving business. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's really exciting. He never closes the doors. Isn't that exciting? He's open 24 hours a day. You know, some of us Christians ought to come and pray today at the altar. Say, God, help me to make you my preeminence in my life. Heavenly Father, help that Lisa to be saved tonight. Give Tammy wisdom how to deal with her and give her the exact verses to show her that the Holy Spirit would show her in her heart that she needs to be saved. And save that dear lady tonight. And Lord, I just pray for Christians, and myself included, that we would make you number one, that you'd have the preeminence in our life. God, help us not to give you our leftovers. Help us not to just try to work you in. Help us to run ahead of the crowd. Help us to take the extra effort and go over the obstacles so nothing stops us from being close to you. Oh God, help us have a desire that we'd want to be close to you and see you like Zacchaeus. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll sing a verse. You want to come, and you come right now. Come right now as we sing.